Well, I'll just say it's a privilege to be with you this morning. It has been a while since I've had the opportunity to preach in chapel. The last time I was here, my hair was thicker and my waist was thinner. Don't laugh. It's true of some of you last time I was here, so be careful. I've known you for a while. But nevertheless, this morning I want to talk to you about a subject that's dear to my own heart. And I remember the first time I heard someone else preach this passage that we're going to look at this morning, and I was challenged with the subject matter of today, and that is settling the matter of my service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Really, the text we're going to look at, we're going to see three illustrations of obstacles that come into our life when opportunities present themselves. And each one of these men has a different perspective, but the same result. Not ready to serve the Lord, not ready to make that commitment. I'd like for you to consider this morning, that every time an opportunity for service comes your way, there will be an obstacle to service that will come your way as well. In Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62, as the disciples are walking in the way, you'll find one who isn't asked a question. He's not really provoked to give a response, and yet he does voluntarily. And then you'll see two men who, after this little conversation with the Lord takes place between the first man and the Lord Jesus Christ, two men then sort of step in before they're asked the question and give their two cents worth. But each one of these men have a different perspective on an obstacle that will keep you from serving the Lord. Now, I understand it's pre-registration week here, and I know with pre-registration week, there are decisions being made, and there are thoughts running through your head. You've gone through a semester that's grueling. Appalachian Bible College isn't easy. Neither is service to the Lord. And so I don't know what's on your heart and mind this morning, but I've been praying that the Lord would use this specifically in your life. I also know, after being in ministry going on 33 years, that this isn't the first and last time you will visit this issue of settling the matter of your service. Now, we call it consecration, dedication, lots of things, but there are events that will come in and out of your life during your time of service for the Lord that will present these same obstacles to you. But once you settle that matter, you can say, you know, even though the obstacle comes my way, I've settled that issue. And it's my prayer this morning as we look at this text of Scripture and share these principles with you that the Lord would help you today, right here, right now, this morning. Settle the matter of service between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow as I read, if you will. Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said to another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. Jesus saith unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Would you bow your head for a word of prayer, please? Father, we ask that you would guide us through this text of Scripture with your Spirit this morning, the one who guides us into all truth. And Lord, may you find our hearts open and receptive to this very matter of settling the issue of whether we'll serve the Lord, not where necessarily, but if we will serve you. I pray, Lord, you would speak to each heart that's challenged with the activity of a semester, those who may be pondering not coming back, those that are here today who may be pondering not coming in the first place. Lord, may we realize that we're called to serve. It's the very reason Appalachian Bible College exists, is to train servants, because life is for service. And so this morning, take these words and minister to our heart. May we leave this building today having settled the matter of our service to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray it In the name of our Lord and Savior, and for His sake, amen. Well, the first obstacle I want to share with you this morning sort of fits into that conversation that the Lord had with this individual, unnamed. No one's named in this passage. It just says a certain man. But as they're walking in the way, unprovoked or not asked at all, he just volunteers and says, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. And the Lord's response in verse 58, I don't know about you, but sort of seems out of place, doesn't it? I mean, you would think the Lord would say, well, that's great. Praise the Lord. You're going to follow me whithersoever thou goest. But that's not what Jesus says. He says to this man, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. I submit to you this morning that the first obstacle to settling the matter of your service is what I'm calling unsettled intentions. We all have good intentions. I know and participated by way of attendance in last week's missions conference here. It's a great time. Great speaker. Dr. Alderman's one of my heroes. And the Word of God was presented on a regular basis, challenging us to do this very thing that we're talking again about this morning. Serve the Lord all the days of our life. Commit our lives to Him. And as I understand, didn't get to attend all the services, that several of you made those kind of commitments to the Lord. They're great intentions. No one's questioning your intent this morning. But I want you to know something about intentions. First of all, they're born out of momentary enthusiasm. A service like that, or a service like this, or some other event, or an occasion when the Word of God is proclaimed, and the Lord sort of pricks your heart, and you experience the excitement of that event, and I'm not, again, questioning your motives or your judgment. I'm just talking to you about intent this morning. Be careful. Because once it's born out of momentary enthusiasm, there's a danger, which we'll get to in just a moment. But what you would ask, well, what's taking place during this time as they were walking in the way? Previous to that, what had happened sparked this man's interest in just coming out and saying before all the disciples and the Lord, I don't care where you go, Jesus, I'm going with you. Sounds like Peter, doesn't it? Lord, I'll die with you. It's the very one that denied him. Well, if you look back, you can if you'd like, or just let me share some of the verses in chapter 9 of fresh things on this man's mind. Places that we would all have loved to been at, and one of them is, of course, the feeding of the 5,000. How many of you like to have been there? Had a piece of that bread, some of that fish. It would have been an exciting time in your life, wouldn't it? I'm sure that the murmur and the excitement and the enthusiasm of the memory of that time and that day and that man's life would have never left him. And so based upon that, I believe he made this statement. And of course, not only was there the feeding of the 5,000, but there's the consideration of a challenge. It's just as if the Lord knew what was going on in their minds. And we're told in Scripture, John and other places, that Jesus knows the thoughts of all men. He knows your thoughts this morning. And yet, in the midst of all that, seemingly knowing what's going on in the hearts of his disciples, he faces them with a challenge. The verses we read in meditation this morning. He wanted them to know, as he wants you to know this morning, that there is a cost to following Jesus. There is a cost to following Jesus. It's exciting to think about going to the mission field or pastoring a church or whatever ministry you think the Lord is drawing you to. Those are exciting times. You're young in some of your cases. As if you were like I was older when I came, almost 30, to Bible college. Way behind the scale of a Bible college student. But listen, Jesus knows your motives this morning, and he knows your heart, and he wants you to count the cost as he considered challenging them to follow him. And then, of course, there's the exorcism of a demon. Now, I'm not sure I would have liked to have been there. It's a scary time. I've only had one time in my pastoral ministry, and Dr. Carfrey and I were called into a situation where we believe someone was absolutely possessed with a demon. It's nothing like the movie show. It's not an exciting time. It'll scare the daylights out of you. So I'm not sure I'd have liked to have been here, but at least the power of God was displayed. And these men knew who they committed to follow. They knew Jesus. They knew the power of Jesus. They respected, admired, and were in awe of him because of that. And then the idea of being the greatest in the kingdom, a little faux pas and some arguments between them. Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? The very thought of that. I believe as they were walking in the way and this man was pondering all of those things, he just said, you know, I want you to know something, Lord. I'll follow you. I've seen you feed the 5,000. I've seen you exorcise a demon. I've heard the challenge upon my life, and I will follow you wherever you go. To the ends of the earth, Lord, you just say where you're going. I'm going with you. The danger in making decisions based on momentary enthusiasm is found in Jesus' answer, verse 58, and that is that they often die when they're faced with reality. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests. Here's something I want you to know if you're going to follow me. The Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. It means that you'll have nothing to call your own. There are some things, as we'll see in this text, that you're going to have to say goodbye to if you're going to follow me. It's true this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to follow him, but he also wants you to know and count the cost of following him. All of us here are familiar with a man named John Mark, who we find in the books of a book of Acts. Can't even begin to imagine the anticipation and the excitement of hearing the rumblings of the first missionary journey and the journeys that followed. John Mark is obviously a younger man thinking about getting on a ship and sailing to foreign places and encountering things that would be exciting to all of us. So we don't have the details, but somehow he made it known he wanted to go. And Uncle Barnabas said, yeah, okay. At that time, the Apostle Paul did too. The problem with it is that he didn't stay for the entire journey. He ended up coming home. We don't know why. We don't have the details. We know later on Paul said, this is a profitable man to me, so the Lord obviously did a work in his life. But could it have been that John Mark made a decision based on momentary enthusiasm that died when it was faced with reality? Possibility exists, doesn't it? We need this morning to change an unsettled intention, hear me today, for a lifelong dedication. That's what we need to do. You're going to hear a lot of sermons over the years you're at Appalachian Bible College, and they're going to well up. Matter of fact, I have never heard a missionary sermon or attended a missionary conference where I didn't want to go to the mission field. I just want to go. Well, I don't care where it is. I want to go. That's not what the Lord's called me to. And I have to keep reminding myself, and so does he, that he's called me to pastoral ministry. But you're going to hear a lot of sermons at your time at Appalachian Bible College. And you're going to make decisions, hopefully. And what I want you to be aware of this morning is that you're not making a decision simply based upon a momentary enthusiasm. Because, my friend, reality's right around the corner. And it will hit you square in the face. And if it's not because of a lifelong dedication that you've given yourself to serve the Lord wherever he may call you and whatever he may call you to do, you, like John Mark, might come home, or you, like this man, will be silenced. We don't hear another word from him. The answer the Lord gave him sort of shut his mouth. It shut down that excitement and the joy, in spite of all the things that he knew were true. Well, there's a second one that's found in the conversation that another man has in verse 59 and 60, and I'll read them again. The Lord actually asked this man, said unto him, follow me, but he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus in verse 60 said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Now, I've struggled with that idea of the Lord's response, let the dead bury the dead, good portion of my pastoral ministry, until I found out that there's a cultural understanding to this, and that is, this man obviously must have been the eldest in his family, and the responsibility of the eldest in the family was to bury their father. In fact, the rest of the siblings in that family were considered as dead, as far as their responsibility in burying their father was concerned. Unless, of course, the family had gone to the city council and sort of delegated that to them, and then they could have the responsibility of burying the dead. And obviously, this man was already following the Lord, but those arrangements had not been made. They could be made, but they had not been made. And so the Lord, knowing his heart, when he said, I got to go bury my father, the Lord knew there was a way out of that. It was an excuse. It wasn't a reason. The Lord's not being callous when he says, let the dead bury the dead. Actually, he was referring to the siblings. Let your siblings take care of your father if he's already dead and there's an impending funeral, or if he hasn't deceased yet. This man may have had the intent, I'm going back home, I'm responsible as the eldest, to wait for my father to die because then I have to bury him. And so the Lord certainly isn't being disrespectful to the dead. What he is wanting us to consider this morning is the importance of settling the matter of our service. And so the second obstacle, as we see, is unsettled interruptions. Unsettled interruptions. There are some characteristics of these types of interruptions that I'd like for you to be aware of this morning. Notice just from those two verses with me, if you will. First of all, they repeatedly keep us from following through with obedience. That's why I started out telling you that every time there is an opportunity for service, there will be an obstacle to service. And if the flesh doesn't make it available, Satan certainly will. He doesn't want you serving the Lord. Not at all. Not even for a moment. He doesn't even want you here this morning. And so we need to be careful to know that these kinds of interruptions will always be available to us. There's always something that will trump serving the Lord. And you and I need to be very, very careful that we don't repeatedly let them keep us from following through in the area of obedience. Consider these related questions to the Lord. This morning, if not you, then my friend who? And if not now, may I ask you, then when? And if not that, may I ask you, then what? And if not there, then may I ask you where? Service to the Lord will take place in your life. The second thing we need to be aware of, the characteristics of these types of interruptions, is not only do they repeatedly keep us from following through with obedience, but they resemble legitimate excuses before the Lord. This man actually offered this excuse to the Lord, knowing the Lord knew his heart. Can I encourage you to do something in prayer when you have an excuse that you just think is that, you know, it just shuts the door as to why you can't serve the Lord now? Would you just go get alone in prayer, just you and Jesus, and will you bounce that off him and see how it sounds as your heart is knit with his in prayer? If it doesn't sound hollow to you, then it may be a good excuse. But if it does sound hollow to you, my friend, you need to reevaluate your service to the Lord. Lord, would you please excuse me from participating in your plan for my life and the very reason why I exist upon the earth while I go do something that is of much less importance than heeding your call upon my life? Can you imagine? I believe the Lord's response to this man and his excuse is not meant to be a commentary on how Jesus views deceased. His intent here is not to be disrespectful toward those who have passed on. No, my friend, this is more commentary on the importance of serving the Lord and preaching the kingdom of God. There's a third characteristic I'd like for you to be aware of, and that is they reveal our true desires. Twice we will find this little phrase, me first. Would you let me first, Lord? Me first. I believe that you can serve the Lord without really loving him this morning. But I also believe that you cannot really love him without serving him. Do you love the Lord today? With all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind? Then you have no option. You will be driven to serve the Lord. There's a fourth and final one in this point, and that is they ring hollow in the ears of Jesus. Immediately, the response came back. Let the dead bury their dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. What have you offered up into the ears of Jesus as to why you're unable to go do what he's called you to do? What have you said to him that may ring hollow in his ears as to why you cannot stay at Appalachian Bible College for another semester, or why you can't attend in the first place? Please don't make the mistake of thinking that just because you're here at Appalachian Bible College, that you're going to serve the Lord all the days of your life. Now, I know that's Dr. Anderson's heart's desire, as it is staff and faculty and many pastors in the area, and I as an alumnus. That's what we want. But I can tell you, having been in the area for a long, long time, that doesn't happen all the time. It doesn't happen all the time. People spend 4 years at Appalachian Bible College. Their hearts are stirred. They may have had an intent or two. But then here came the interruptions. And they go back to where they started, sort of like the fishermen in John 21. After having followed the Lord for a little while, all of a sudden they said, I have a great idea. Let's go fishing. I said, okay. Okay. They ring hollow in the ears of the Lord Jesus. As we finish this morning, there's a third obstacle, and that is the obstacle of unsettled indecisions. That's 61 and 62, and I'll be quick. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my father's house, or at my house. Verse 62, Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Two separate responses to Jesus' direct question regarding one's submission to serve the Lord. And they really demonstrate the exact issue that's going on in both of these men's lives, excluding the first one. They have to assume one of two positions. Number one, or position number two. Now, what can we learn about unsettled indecision? Well, what I want you to learn from these verses of Scripture is that really it's a declaration of independence. It's someone saying, Lord, I don't care what you want. I know what I want. Let me be quick about this. We can learn that until we sacrifice our independence, we will never be able to say goodbye to the things we love. Let me go back and say farewell. Haven't said farewell. Well, what are you doing there if you haven't said farewell to the things that you left behind? What did you think it meant to follow Jesus? And by the way, I could get testimony this morning if we had the time from servants of the Lord scattered throughout this building to say you're not leaving anything behind. You're not giving up anything. The blessings are overwhelming. What you left behind just become a faded, insignificant, distant memory. We can also learn that an unsettled indecision results in fostering procrastination. Going back and saying goodbye to loved ones required partying and all sorts of other things. It was going to be a while before he resumed, if ever, following Jesus. And then we can also learn that unsettled indecisions divides our passions. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I have some startling, unsettling news for you this morning, my Christian friend. That is that the Lord Jesus Christ is not looking for half-hearted, part-time, semi-committed servants who have one hand on the plow with both eyes looking back. It's not what he's looking at. Not what he's looking for this morning. He's looking for people who will give him what he deserves and what he's worth. And he deserves better than that and expects more than that from you and I. I'm going to close with this illustration this morning. It's been a while back now, about a year, a fast food chain in the area had a promotion going on, an advertisement, and I stopped in there for lunch one day, and there was a young lady behind the counter that had a badge on, and the badge said, I'm number two. Well, that was intriguing to me, because most businesses want to be what? They want to be number one. What's this all about? So Being my inquisitive self, I said to her, well, if you're number two, who's number one? She said, you are. I thought, well, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. The customer's number one. But I want to ask you something this morning, Christian friend. If you wore a badge with the number one or the number two on it, which number would you be? Is Jesus number one because you're number two? Or is he number two because you're number one? Settle the matter of your service today. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We ask, Lord, your blessings upon our life in this sermon today. It would pierce through the walls that we've built up, the excuses, Lord, that we've offered. Get right to the core of the matter. May we forfeit and say goodbye to the things we love. Sacrifice our independence and bow before you today as our Lord and Savior. Commit to you to serve you all the days of our life. Spirit of God, we trust you today to take this word and minister what you would have done in our lives. And we pray it all in the wonderful name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. For his sake, amen.